Tonight, my Snoopies, Sigmunds, and Howdy Doodies, we went through it all, and we went through it all again, and again, and again, in a time loop, in a time loop. Remember fun? The Legion After Show starts now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Yes, that's right. Vic Mackey, the cop that plays by nobody's rules on The Shield, he is indeed not the commish, but he is a cop who wears a shield. Welcome to the after show. I'm Christian Platt, joined by some of the panel. Who's here tonight? Who's here tonight? Who's here tonight?
My name is Alexa Capiello. I'm so excited to talk about this episode. Poof, mind blown.
And then on the end is, of course, Alana Jordan. I mean, wait, who's here?
I mean, is it my name Jeff?
Jeff?
Yeah, but no, really interested, really ready to talk about the episode. There's so much stuff going on. I mean, just a whole bunch of twitching. So.
There's a lot of twitching about. And we have a little bit of news. Which is just, none of us got it, but there's some really cool swag for Legion that's out there. And we just want everybody to look at it and hopefully be just as jealous as we are that we didn't get it.
Yeah.
But
thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, thanks, but no thanks. And of course, we will visit whether or not any of this episode was the real life or if it was just fantasy. I'm going to say like 98% of this was
probably
fantasy.
Yeah. 98.9999999.
I think when Mal, Carrie, and Switch were in the phone booth, that might be the one thing that was real.
Yeah.
The rest of it, the verdict is out. But overall, I always like to get just big thoughts from the beginning. So, of course, Alexa, I'll ask you first. Overall thoughts.
What a crazy episode. No, for real. Like, I...
Yeah, and a show that's had a lot of crazy episodes.
I know, exactly. I know. But this one was just off the charts nuts for me. And visually, of course, stunning. I picked up a lot of... there was a lot of neon in this. And if you think about neon as a color, it's supposed to light, but it doesn't light very well. And I was just like, wow, that's really deep. That's really, really cool. And so a lot of it was in the darkness, but it was beautifully shot and it was cool. That's all I want to say for right now about it. We're going to get into it.
We'll get into everything. And Jeff, overall.
Just like most episodes, but unlike, it was confusing. That's my one word for it, because at multiple moments, I'm like, okay, should I write this down or should I wait? Because is it not real?
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
That's how I felt about this episode. Watching it, or like, being at the end, it was a great episode. There was so much, but there were so many times like, I'm going to wait before I write notes because this might all be fake.
Right, and the three of us watched it together and we all took notes. And after we were done, Alexa said, I have one question about one thing. And I'm like, one thing?
One?
There's only one thing. I want to start off with what my favorite thing was about the episode, and it was not part of the story. We tried to have a little fun there at the top of the show. But they came back from commercial. And what they came back into was footage from an episode of The Shield, which was an FX show. I believe it aired on Monday nights. I believe it aired at 10 o'clock. So I'm also wondering, I'm like, wait, was that like the exact minute in that episode? So it was really cool because that's FX. We were watching FX. And it was very mind-bending because they, you know, it's very clear that it's that show. But of course, I'm also fast-forwarding through the commercials. And I'm like, well, what do they have a commercial for The Shield on for? But then the Legion logo was right before it. Definitely threw me for a loop. So my question is, I don't know if anybody else is watching this show in other countries or other territories, but did you see something different there? Like if it airs on, I don't know, if it airs on like Sky TV in the UK, did they use footage from maybe a previous show there? Or did they just go ahead and do it with
The Shield?
That would
be supremely difficult and a lot of work.
Oh, yeah. But that's why I'm wondering.
Right.
Because I don't think Noah Hawley has to actually go in and edit all that in. I think you leave The Shield in there. But it's probably hasn't really aired except for here. So that's maybe something that we'll have to find out in the future. We'll have to take a look at the future. If we have any future left.
I was like, maybe people in the comments would know if it aired differently in different places.
We'd be interested to know.
And so what I mean in the future, though, is that I will have to keep an eye on the YouTube comments for this for like years and see if somebody's finally like, I don't know what the shield is. We saw an episode of Teletubbies, you know, or just picking something. It's probably not going to be tough. But what if it was?
That would be cool.
That wouldn't have surprised me.
Also, why is Teletubbies on your mind right there?
Because I have children.
True, you know, all usually, facts.
Yeah, and we saw a child in this episode. So, all right, I did like where we started, which is female Carrie just kind of sitting around saying, like, do you remember fun? Do you miss people? And, you know, Ptolemy is part of their Vermilion Collective, and it doesn't seem like any of that's the case anymore. I don't think capable of fun. We see that it's basically like a machine, and when they have the hard reboot, they lose all the data, so much history lost. And then, of course, because this is Legion, he then freaks out, my mustache, what did they do with my mustache? So I'll ask you first, Jeff, what do you think caused that? Is it just as simple as the Time Eaters ate the data, or do you think that that's more of like a domino effect from what the Time Eaters were doing?
I was thinking it was more of a domino effect, definitely. I thought it was like the time shifts, and I think it was more like if a time shifts, a computer kind of like changes or kind of breaks down and doesn't know where it's at, and they said like the time code. So I think it was kind of like confusing, and then it just like kind of broke down or shut down.
I took it as more of a metaphor. You know, whenever you're working on something on a computer and it breaks down or you lose all the data, that was the whole basis of this whole episode, is time is all we have. Our memories are all we have, and without them, we're nothing. And so I felt like it was kind of just a little metaphor for the rest of the episode to come.
Yes, well, Mick Jagger once said, time is on my side, but I don't feel like it is. I don't think it's on our side. Mm-hmm. If there are time eaters, and you just have to kind of walk around them to get them riled up. I thought it was fascinating when Farouk explained how the time eaters are. One, they're in the space between time, but that they're more like termites. So you can't just fight them in real time. You have to go to the nest of where they are, which is not something we actually saw until later in the episode, but what a fascinating visual way to do it, which it was just a series of still photos that had like a stop motion effect. Alexa, what did you think about creating that sort of weird space between time?
I mean, what else am I supposed to say other than it was cool?
It was cool and it was weird.
It was a cool idea. It was well done, and it's so hard to convey time between time.
Yeah.
But what an awesome way to do it with stop motion animation, but not quite. Just using visuals, just the paintings almost. It was, I don't know how else to describe it other than it was cool with a capital C. I liked it a lot. It was also kind of hard to follow at the same time because they skipped a lot.
Skipped a lot, but it was also sort of like a silent movie where we had to actually, you know, the dialogue was on the screen, and
right.
You know, there's oftentimes we have people speaking in other languages and we get the subtitles, but if you, as always with the show, if you're not paying attention, you don't realize that you're missing dialogue. You're just like, oh yeah, I saw that picture 3 frames ago. But it's a show you really should never look away from, except of course the three of us
if you're furiously taking notes.
I've gotten really good at understanding what my typos mean because I'm just like, I'm typing on, and I'm doing it on my phone too. If I think I was doing it on my laptop, it might be a little easier, but it's just so much going on. What did you think of that visual and just some of the other visuals on this episode, Jeff?
Artistically, it was cool, but I gotta say I was frustrated at the end because I was expecting them to actually take down the demons in that time.
Right. Because
that's where Farouk says you need to be there. But then we see, I don't want to like...
Well, we'll get to what happens with them.
Yeah,
sure,
but we see it doesn't end up happening in that time. So I was kind of frustrated with that. I thought it was cool artistically. But I was frustrated with how it ended.
Yeah, well, as always, it's just to keep us coming back. You know, we were talking after the show, and I just couldn't believe that this was only episode 4 of the season because it just, I feel like I've watched maybe 10 episodes worth of weirdness and gotten 10 episodes of story already. Mm-hmm. And so next week we're going to be at the halfway point of the season already, and maybe... just maybe at some point we'll get our full panel here on the show.
Yeah, I know. I am kind of a little pissed off that they've introduced Charles Xavier and what, he's just letting all this happen?
Well, I don't think he knows it's happening at this point.
Because
the Charles Xavier that we met is in the past. Mm-hmm. We don't know where Professor X is right now and what he's doing.
But he still has Cerebro.
Sure. But there are definitely it depends on what part of the story this is. There are times where Charles Xavier is off in space with his lady friend, Lilandra, and he can walk. So not that time doesn't happen in space, but he would be very far removed from it. So they, you know, he could be somewhere. He could be elsewhere in time, you know. So I think we'll get a reason. We'll get an explanation. I don't think that we're only getting him in the flashback story. I don't think we're going to get a lot of episodes with him, but I would be shocked and a little annoyed if we don't see him again.
Right, yeah.
But I think that he will factor into the final confrontation between
David and Farouk. Yeah, I think he needs to help take his son down, to be honest.
Yes.
Who else is going to at this point? The Time Eaters? Perhaps.
Perhaps. Yeah,
it doesn't look like anyone's really strong enough to even attempt to take him down. Because, I mean, the Time Eaters, they did for a little bit. They kind of confused him, but then he took him down once he realized what was going on.
I don't think they're completely gone. Yeah. I think they're going to come back.
No, I think they'll definitely come back. And just to sort of jump ahead, because we're talking about it, it's in that stop motion sort of still photograph style that Farouk feels like, oh, all I had to do was take out the sword. Farouk thinks that he fought off the Time Eaters and he's fine, but clearly David incinerated one and he's like, I can do this to all of you. And so that's actually why they retreat. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess they go, what, under the floorboards or whatever termites do when they hide.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, only had termites once. So I think I got rid of them. They don't giggle like that. So. Oh my God, what if they did? If termites giggled, I think that exterminators would be able to charge a lot more, because it's like they're slowly eating your house and they're keeping you up at night laughing.
I would never go back in that house even if they cleaned it. Mm. Like, how you just gonna, if you hear giggles like that, I'm good. I'm good on that one.
So David shows what he's capable of, but there's a long road before he gets there. And, of course, he has an interaction with Mommy, which I think is a nice reminder of just how childlike and honestly needy of love and any kind of parental figure David is. Alexa, what did you think about David sort of finding himself in a cell, ostensibly – in World War II, ostensibly in a concentration camp.
Yeah, that was a really powerful scene.
Yeah.
It started out with her humming, and it sounded like, to me, even before I knew that it was his mom, it sounded like she was humming a gospel tune. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she asked him, are you a Jew? Are you a homosexual? And all this. And, you know, it was interesting seeing him reconnect with her and then, you know, trying to fight with her, tell her, you know, I'm not crazy. And she's like, oh, you know, I'm crazy. We're both crazy. Yeah. And he was just trying so hard to get her to understand and to change his past so that he could live the life that he thinks he deserves.
And by the way, David's not crazy in the way they told him he was in season one, but he is crazy.
He's absolutely,
he's definitely crazy.
Absolutely, definitely crazy. And it's sad. It's sad to watch that he can't get help in the way that he needs it. Same with his mom.
I mean, honestly, his father would be the only person who could help him. And I think what he would have to do is sort of put these psychic barriers in there that close off portions of his mind, which is basically what he did to Jean Grey. Professor Xavier did that so that she was never quite as powerful as she should be. But, you know, until the Phoenix comes.
His ego's getting the best of him. He's calling himself God. I mean, it's
doing
bad
a whole lot.
At this
point. Yeah, we'll talk about some of that in a second. What were you going to say?
No, I was going to say we got a shout out. We got a $5 super chat person.
What?
So I just want to give him a personal shout out.
We really $5 make you hot.
In all honesty, I have never had that before. Any of the shows that I've done. In fact, I've usually had to give $20 out to the people in the chat to keep them in there and make them stay.
Do we get it? Does it really get split?
Yeah, you guys, this is a Silhouette Animator asked, what if David is still in the orb, the equinox mentioned in season one, and everything from season two to next week was a simulation to see if and how the world will end?
It will be moderately annoying than what I don't want it to be. Him sitting in the first minutes of season one, episode one, and none of it ever happened. That'll be pretty annoying because season one will have happened, but then not the rest. I hope that's not the case.
Yeah, me too.
I
hate when stories just end up with the person waking up and be like, that was a weird, horrible dream. Yeah. I just think it's a big cop-out.
That's just so lazy. you could do so many other things. Like,
right.
Let's just hope that doesn't happen.
Let's hope that doesn't happen. Well, thank you. And sorry,
great prediction.
Who was our person there in the super chat?
It was Ryan. Silhouette Animator.
Which is also a great name. Silhouette Animator. Also, if you would like to silhouette animate any of us, please do.
Yes, please do.
That would be really dope.
Yeah, maybe I'll give $5 if I can see an animated silhouette of myself. So in that scene when David is talking to his mother in the prison, he asks a lot of the questions that we were asking last week. I think Noah Hawley and the creative people behind the scenes know exactly what we want to know, which is what year is this? Is this in Germany? Mm-hmm. Is this the war? Mm-hmm. And she just gives answers like, you know, he says, what year is this? This is the beginning of the end. Like, yes, we know. It's four episodes into the end. We get it. Just tell us when it is, what year it is. Because there were so many questions. We were talking about this last week, Alexa, is that by getting the backstory of Professor X and Gabriel Haller being right after World War II, it's like,
it doesn't add up time-wise.
Doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we've gotten the theory that David ages slowly. And last night on Marvel TV Weekly, we also talk about Legion and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., not The Shield and other shows, though. Somebody suggested, and I wanted to give them credit, and then I wasn't smart enough to write it down. They said that I think it might be Jenna James. If you're in the chat and you made this point last night on Marvel TV Weekly, please mention it, and I will give you credit. But the idea that David does age slower – and the way we see him is actually kind of the way he projects himself. And when we see a really old representation of him by the crib, that's actually how old he is. So it's not something that I had thought of, but it is an interesting way to address that. We had theories last week that things like when they give him up, they send him through time to give him up. So
how do they address that in the comics?
That, well, the character was introduced in 1985. So that makes it add up, actually, okay. Because time does move very slowly in the comics, but they kind of bend it a little bit. Like, you know, you have stuff like Professor X and Magneto have backstories that are tied to World War II. All the Fantastic Four have backstories in World War II. So you update things a little bit. Like, a perfect example is Frank Castle, the Punisher, is a Vietnam vet. But for the television show, they obviously had him serving in Iraq and Afghanistan. You can update it a little bit. That's kind of what I expected with this. And that's why it doesn't make any sense. But I wouldn't expect anything different from this show.
It's true.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I expect to confuse me, but like just totally understand it. So same with...
I wanted to get back to David's God complex because, you know, he's trying to play everything really cool. But we also have Lenny trying to kind of egg him on. No, I want you to be mad. I want you to use all these powers that you have. And it definitely goes to his head. He's very cocky when he says that he's going to be able to handle everything, you know. He actually says to her that he's going to fix this, whatever they throw at me, he's going to slay them. This is my time. This is David's time. And so he's talking about himself in the third person. That's already not good, you know. But he actually says the line, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I eat monsters for breakfast. I don't think that's true. Lenny's a breakfast queen. She would not be serving you monsters. I feel like that's not the case. But he tries to take on the time demon, and it's here, kitty, kitty. Oh, big boy. Want to dance? Let's dance. And it's like, okay, you've clearly seen somebody be a tough guy before, but you're actually – and he's powerful enough to be a tough guy, but that's really not who he is. So that's how he ends up in the prison, which we already talked about. But this is the first instance, Alexa, that we see – him being this full of himself. This is really the God complex. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts as you're watching the episode and really just this portion of that aspect of his personality?
Well, to be fair, we haven't really seen him fail spectacularly, okay?
He's not good at dating.
No, he's not good at dating, and yes, he did fail in terms of Sid, yeah. But he's still alive. He's still kicking.
It's
he's
true.
Been killed a few times. Came back with, you know, with the with Switch. He's been through a lot, and he's overcome it. So, you know, that's just he's got this God complex, but at the same time, he knows how powerful he is, and he truly does believe that he can handle everything. And then, of course, his mental issues are also at play there as well.
Yeah, and like when he's talking to Lenny, talking to her, and I thought that was going to be the riff. I kind of thought, like I said in the last episode, that Switch was going to be the riff between Lenny and David, but it might just be David's power. Mm-hmm. And Lenny actually being a real person, having a, and caring about a family and caring about long term, he's like, no, this is all me. This is my show. And she wants the bad. She wants the evil David, but she might not want, or she might not like what she gets. And that's what it's starting to look like.
No, this is cool. I wrote down this quote. It's he finally says, this isn't about me, the world. When he's talking to his mom, this isn't about the world. This is about me. I'm not crazy. My life was taken from me. So he's just on a mission to get his life back.
And he's not entirely inaccurate.
Right.
Because Farouk has taken a lot from him. He certainly made bad decisions along the way. But going back to what Carrie, female Carrie, and I love that they addressed it when she's talking to Sid. It's like, me? No, male Carrie. You know? Because it's always like, yeah, how do they always know? And I was like, finally, somebody, you know, Carrie's like, oh, you mean me? No, the other one. The scientist. What are you going to do? You're going to just hit time or, I don't know, throw a sword at it? But what she's saying there is that everybody feels like grown-ups now. It's like things aren't fun. Things are different. And I think that what she's feeling is this suggestion that we know that Farouk has done to really everyone. And I think we're starting to see it. I don't think it's unraveling at this point. But we've seen male Carrie come out of his what he called treachery from David convincing him to help him. So I'm wondering if we might start to see that at some point this season. Do you think... I was reading the chat for a second, but I'll get to that in a minute. Do you think, Jeff, that that's something that's likely to happen? Do you think we're going to see? I guess it's technically a prediction, but I'm wondering: do you think we're going to see Farouk's grip start to slip away from everyone in Division 3?
I do, but when I saw Mel Carey like regain his memories, I kind of thought it was from the time demons, not from just time in general.
Right.
So I didn't know if it was like the time demons were kind of making that happen. And that it might have been that way. And it might speed it up where all the people that Farouk is mind controlling, or at least like putting suggestions in, they might remember that as well faster because of all the time demons. I don't know if that was the reason, but that's how I took it when it happened right when the time demons were chasing them.
And by the way, it was indeed Jenna James last night on Marvel TV Weekly. We are giving her the credit. She did confirm that it was her who had the theory that David is really old, and that's why we saw old David, which that's the thing about this show. You can watch it intently. You can take notes. You can talk to people who are also doing that, and then you just miss stuff.
Yeah.
You know? And I want to get into an area of the episode where we actually had to talk about what we remembered from last season, and that was present day Sid talking to young Sid, which I thought was a great conversation. I thought it was really cool to see.
How many of y'all wish that you could talk to your younger self?
I think that's a general
like,
everybody.
I was just like, oh, I wish I could do this myself. Yeah. But that was a painful combo as well. It was cool,
It was very honest, and obviously present day Sid knows. She's like, I know what you want to ask me.
Yeah.
And they talk about sort of the backstory for Sid really starting to understand her powers. And it was an incident that we saw in season 2 when she basically takes over her mother's body, goes into the shower with, and I don't remember if that's a stepfather or her mom's boyfriend, but it is that figure in her life. It's not her father. So she goes into the shower and she turns back into herself, and her mother sees this guy with her 15-year-old daughter, so obviously freaks out. The guy goes to jail. We know that part of the story. Yep. But what I didn't remember, and Alexa, this was the question that you – this was the one question
the one
that
question
you actually asked. So let's talk about that conversation and what it is that young Sid tells old Sid – or present-day Sid. She's not really that old. Young Sid tells – past Sid tells present-day Sid. Just sort of the question that you had was – I think we didn't know to that extent, and Silhouette Animator says it is her mom's boyfriend.
So yeah, because her mom had a bunch of boyfriends.
Yes.
So my confusion about it was, why did she say, what was it, like she turns, she they turned me around.
Right.
He turned me around, and then older Sid says the same thing of David later on.
Right.
Turned me around. So my question was, she went to the shower to experience sex for the first time.
Right.
That's what she wanted to do as a 15-year-old. I understand. So she used her powers to do that. But my question was, it seemed to me that she was mad, or that she felt like he took advantage of her, when in reality she went and she did that to herself. She wanted to experience that.
Right.
So that was my confusion about
it. Well, and what we had discussed is that clearly, and she even says it to her future self, is that she thought that sex was romantic, and present day Sid says it can be. That was not a particularly romantic moment. We don't know the relationship her mom had with her boyfriend. Maybe that's something that they're both into, though.
Maybe she was talking about the relationship between her mom and her boyfriend.
And I think she didn't expect it to be that. You know, she thought that it was going to be something that
romantic
was like beautiful.
And
she's like, all I remember is having my head smashed against
the
glass. And she's like, you know, my first time, my only time.
Right.
So she's obviously we knew from last season that this was a really important event to her. And I think present day Sid feels like she needs to let her know, like, yeah, it is going to get better. You are going to fall in love. But then, of course, she asks the obvious questions. And I thought that, first of all, it was heartbreaking to hear young Sid's account of that incident that we saw in that episode. But I don't think it was put in that context. And let us know in the chat if we just misremember that.
Yeah.
I didn't remember it that way. But when she tries to explain what went wrong with David, we sort of see the little flash when he's like, oh, you just had a terrible dream. She said, he turned me around, which is referencing what she said is that it's about power. So taking all that in, I still feel like David is always well-intentioned. But we've had a lot of conversation about that incident, and this whole season really hinges on that.
Yeah.
Because without that incident, I don't know that –
they would probably still be together.
They would still
be
together.
Probably wouldn't go off the deep end
completely.
And
the Shadow King wouldn't be able to infiltrate all of his like close friends, basically, his only friends really. So I do want to get your thoughts on sort of all of it, Jeff, what you think about that scene.
So one of the main questions I was going to ask you once we like – talked about what she actually said is, why did she say it? That's what I was kind of confused about, because she knows how like time works, or she kind of has an idea about how time works, and she's like, I didn't understand why you would tell your younger self all this information knowing that it could change the future.
Well, we still haven't gotten the construct of time and how we can affect our past selves through what we tell.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know any of the rules here. They haven't really.
If you believe Avengers Endgame, you can't change your future.
Yeah, but
I mean, the perfect example, just to take it from that, is Nebula shoots her past self and her present self doesn't die, which flies in the face of any concept of time travel that I've ever seen. If you kill your past self, you are dead. But apparently that's not the way time travel always works. You can't get mad about somebody else's interpretation of made up fake science. Anyway.
Yeah. Like, what frustrated me about that is, though, she talks to David and she says, you know, you can't just go back in time and change things. You're still the same person. So she doesn't like time traveling and changing it and stuff. So why were you okay about telling your younger self all this information and pretty much changing the past, which would change the future? I just didn't like it because she was mad at David about that.
So but she's then, being a hypocrite is what
you're
saying.
Yeah. And I didn't think that she understood it was fake. So I was wondering, I was like, why are you doing this? That was where my head was at during that whole part. It was cool to see. It definitely was like enlightening, but I just like, I felt like she was a little bit of a hypocrite in that scene.
Fandom D Saint in the chat. Rules of time travel. There is no perfect future. That's from episode one of this season. Absolutely. And silhouetted animator mentions that David mentioned timeline branches in season two during the different Amy realities episode and also the different David realities, which I'm wondering if that's going to tie back in to some point. We saw all those different Davids. And and Phantom D Saint just throws in the word multiverse. In any case, we only have about 10 minutes left, which is
it's so impossible to break down this show.
I know.
Just to give people a
little behind the scenes, for a lot of the shows, there's a dry erase board over there, and the show that was in before is like, oh, do you need to erase this? I'm like, no, I can't write it out.
There's no way.
It's just the least linear story that's ever been told. I don't even know how to break it down. You can break it down by characters. You can definitely talk about it by characters. But it's actually not helpful to try and do that. I do want to make sure we talk about Switch before we leave, though, because we see just what toll this is taking on her.
Oh, yeah.
And she lost another tooth. She tells David that all my teeth are tingling. And he's like, we're not going to go that far back. Don't worry. You're not going to lose another tooth. He doesn't know that. And I'm not surprised that when Carrie basically says, I'm here to rescue you, she's like, wait. You want me to go with you? Yeah, let me get out of here. Did that surprise you at all, Alexa?
No. Why would she want to stay there after it seems like David's abusing her
and
killing her?
He even said to her when time started skipping, are you going to – don't make me force you to do this.
Right.
You know? So – and she's like, oh, yeah, so that's coming. Like,
right.
There's going to be the day where I have no teeth left and he's going to make me take
it. She had a toothbrush. Did you guys see her throw
giant
toothbrush?
I did like that.
I saw that.
Yeah.
In between writing furiously. So can we talk about these mind flayers too? They're doing. So they're called time eaters. They equate them to termites.
And also somebody in the chat pointed out they look like the blue meanies from the Yellow Submarine animated movie, the Beatles animated movie. So I wanted to give a shout out to whoever said that. I'm sorry, go ahead.
But how much time have they eaten? You know, these are questions.
How do we
fight them if we've never been born? What's their agenda? Are they animals feeding? All these things. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
Well, I thought it was a great observation that mail carry has. It's like and Switch is trying to explain to him. It's like, look, we're losing time, and he thinks she means that like time's wasting. It's like, no, we've lost like a minute or so. What's going to happen when we start to lose hours, years? What about when we all go back into the time of the dinosaurs? So what were you going to say, Jeff?
I was going to say, is that going to turn into more of like, not the villain, but more the bigger problem for Division 3? Are they going to worry about that more than David at this time? At this time? Because like, they can control time. And David has a lot of powers, but like, this is more the immediate problem. So I wonder if they're, in the coming episodes, is their mission going to turn or like, just take a pause? Because we talk like the time demons, they're still around. They're not gone. So they're eventually going to come back. So I wonder if like their mission switches.
And we alluded to it, but we do, the conversation between present day Sid and young Sid was very touching and heartbreaking. But we do need to talk about what Lenny actually went through. Now, last week, Jeff, you predicted that the baby was basically going to like snap out of existence. I think this was much worse than that.
Oh, yeah.
Just react to what happened. Talk a little bit about what happened and your thoughts.
So we see Lenny and we see the baby mama, as we talked about earlier.
Salmon,
Fishy.
Yeah.
There were so many names. But we see them and we see her delivering the baby. And then you see time just keep jumping. So you see her when she's able to write and stuff. Then when she's able to talk. And then that's not the right order. But then she has a kid of her own, so like she becomes a grandmother. And then she's with, you just see time continue to jump, and she's missing all these big moments. And it's pretty much depressing, Lenny the whole time until her baby mama is like on her deathbed, pretty much.
Right. Well, the baby's on the deathbed.
And she says,
thanks for always being there for me. And I think that's kind of the gut punch of like, I don't know any of it. I just kind of basically read the back cover of the Cliff Notes of your life. You know, I don't know anything about it. I just got to see it happen in like 90 seconds.
It was like having Alzheimer's disease in that moment, just watching it. And it was terrible.
As I was saying, along those lines, but Lenny's last couple words were just like, no, I want to feel it.
Yeah, because David wants to know. It's like, you know, is it that bad? Do you want me to help? I thought that was really telling.
That line had so many different. It could have so many different meanings. One, no, I want to feel it, as in don't put your powers on me again. And two, it could be no, I actually want to deal with this because I saw it happen, and I actually want to feel something because she didn't get a chance to feel it as the time was jumping. So like, you could see this both ways. And when I first listened to it, I was like, no, she doesn't want you doing her powers again, but then I didn't think about it the other way. So, I mean, that was just a very deep line. It was simple, but, like, it had a couple different meanings.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on that, Alexa, the just sort of watching that play out, but also Lenny not wanting to forget it. I mean, she easily could have had David. Like, I don't want to remember that this happened.
Right. I mean, like I said, it was like watching Alzheimer's disease play out. It was terrible. It was heartbreaking. And her telling David, I want to remember it, to me was like, again, memories are all that we have. They are what make us human. They are what make us who we are. And so that pain is important. We have to feel that pain because, you know, pain is what makes us human and what makes us grow as people. That's it.
And we're starting to see David become less human because he's having less feelings. Yeah. So it's like,
yeah,
she notices that too.
We see him lash out at the time demons, and that's why they run and hide, not because Farouk has a magic sword. but he freaks out on his disciples. He's tired of being daddy, which is super creepy.
That was so creepy and weird.
I need you all to call me daddy.
Daddy takes care of you. I'm like, stop it. So then he lashes out at them, and then he's like, we're Switch. And then he finds out that Mail Carrie took her, and he freaks out, and then all he says is war. And that is the end of the episode, and then we get a sense that he's still determined to give everyone a do-over next week, which we'll talk about next week. But in our final minutes, we need to give our special segment, which I hope you're both ready. So many to choose from.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy?
I feel like we're just like on a wave or something every time we listen to that.
No escape from reality. Alexa, what is your moment if you can pick only one?
Only one.
If you have to pick two, it's all right. But what comes to mind immediately of like, was this real?
Him talking to his mama.
Yeah.
That was the biggest one for me. I was like, did that actually happen? Because if it did, that would influence so much.
Yes, the Time Eaters could have put him back in time, but he also could have had that exchange in the astral plane because his mother's crazy.
Yeah.
He could have definitely connected with her and told her this. And she could have, of course, discounted all of it to the extent that she didn't even remember it when she actually had a child. Just the one line of like, David, I always
like
that name.
I like that name.
It's kind of like that's all that's going to come away from that. And Jeff, what were your thoughts?
Kind of along the same lines as, was it at a different time? Did you get transferred to a different time? I thought Sid got transferred back to a different time. I wasn't thinking it was fake. I thought the time demon brought her back to a different time.
I had the same thought. I'm like, what really happened there? But I guess that wasn't really past Sid, but it sure seemed like it.
It seemed like the demons were just like finding your desires and turning it horribly. Mm-hmm. Because like for Sid, she was trying to teach her younger self how to be okay with who she was. For David, he was trying to see his mom. But like it was like the evil version of your desires. And that's what I kind of got from the demons. But like I'm interested to see why each storyline happened for each people. So definitely put that in the comments as to why you think the demons did that.
Right. No, exactly. And I'm wondering, that terrible thing that Lenny experienced, was it all in her head and it actually didn't happen? And was Salmon real to begin with? Like, it's hard to really tell with this show. I think it did, but we don't know for sure. You know, because the way she experienced it, it was like time was collapsing, but time wasn't really collapsing for everyone else. And I the people that we saw get frozen and all this, they seem to be gone now. So it's we're going to have
did.
To see.
I think that did happen.
I think it did. But in the moment, it was hard to really say. Very quickly, I know that we need to give out, we need to give our news, though, because we often forget the news. And it's really one item.
Yes.
And it's just to take a look at how cool. And Alexa, actually, Elena sent this to
yeah,
us,
Elena
even though
did.
She's not here.
Elena from...
From the future,
Nether.
Yeah. She sent this back in time, no. And what exactly is this that she sent?
I know as somebody I saw on my story actually got one because she's a huge fan of the show. But basically, they were all sent.
Like we're not fans of the show.
It's I know. Right. But it's basically a lunchbox. So it's a really cool box.
And remember,
it has Legion
we
on
had
it.
Lunchboxes shaking and rattling in this episode.
I know,
and they look like that.
It has a thermos, and then they have mutant mints in there too. And I think a card cool. that says "Thank you for watching the show."
Why
and being
they
a fan
thank us for watching.
It's so cool.
I mean, we only do the after show, but it's fine.
Mutants.
All right. Well,
I think, what do they say about the mutants?
This news has made me mad.
Farouk's freshness.
Farouk's freshness. So
that definitely makes me want to take
so
them
awesome.
Out.
Yeah, no, I would never open that box.
I don't think many
Farouk's
shows,
name on it.
Not a lot of shows do that, right? They don't send gifts to their fans.
Well, you usually will get them at like Emmy time.
Right.
You know? So, and you'll have like sometimes really unique packaging. Like I remember the show Everybody Hates Chris, the first season came to you and it was in like a milk carton where it was like missing and it was a picture of the actor who played young Chris Rock. So you sometimes get cool stuff like this, but yeah, it's usually for a reason. I guess this is tied into Comic-Con. Let us know if you have one.
Yeah.
We're jealous.
We're jealous.
But anyway, that is our time for tonight. But Jeff, where can people find you if they want to keep in touch?
You guys can find me on a bunch of different superhero after shows. We got Legion, obviously. You got Swamp Thing. And we got Young Justice. But you guys can find me at JeffWill_Jr. on all your social media platforms.
And Alexa, where can people find you?
You guys can find me on Instagram at Alexa Cappy.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ChristianDMZ. And also Marvel TV Weekly, which I mentioned, Sundays at 9. We will also talk about this episode and Friday's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But there's going to be some things to talk about out of Comic-Con as well. And you can find me Thursdays at 1 Pacific over on Popcorn Talk Network for Marvel Movie News. Anyway, that's it for now. We will see you all next week. Thanks.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.